On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
Okay, once again, everybody, it's time for Rapid Fire, where Danny and I ask each other three questions and try to stump each other. And this week, I think I got some pretty easy questions. Danny, are you ready?
Yeah, I've got some hard ones for you this time. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Appreciate that.
I do what I can.
All right, so I think these are easy. Maybe these are impossible.
Yeah,
who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah, my definitions. All right, question number one. Judas Priest covered a folk song in the 70s called Diamonds and Rust. Can you tell me who originally wrote and recorded that song?
Diamonds and Rust.
Diamonds and Rust. You know the song well.
Oh, yeah. That's an awesome song. I'm going to say Fleetwood Mac.
Joan Baez.
Oh, jeez. Ugh.
Can you believe that?
Joan Baez. Who would think a priest would do a Baez song?
I don't know. I've heard the original, and it's terrible. And we're not going to play it.
Good. Judas Priest, I know, improved it, because it's a great song by them, but
immensely.
Okay, my first question for you. Can you name the songwriting duo that wrote many songs for Sweet, including Little Willie and Ballroom Blitz, along with the song Hey Mickey by Basil and Kiss You All Over by Exile?
I want to kiss you all over. Would that be Chinny Chapman? Chin and Chapman.
Yes, you are correct.
Yes.
Yep, Nicky Chin and Mark Chapman. They were prolific in the 70s, 80s.
I didn't know they wrote, oh, Hey, Mickey, You're So Fine, You Blow My Mind, Hey, Mickey. They wrote that one?
Yep.
God, that's number one.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's made a boatload of money.
They did. And they went off and wrote songs on their own for a while. But after they stopped writing for Sweet in 75... Sweet went downhill. Didn't have another hit.
Because they had one more hit, Love Is Like Oxygen.
I can't believe that's Sweet.
Yeah.
That blows me away every time.
Yeah, once they wanted to do their own songs, they wanted to get heavier, and they just they did okay, and then they just kind of faded away.
Yeah, heavy songs like Love Is Like Oxygen.
By the end of the 70s, they were terrible. It's too bad.
It's all about the song.
Right. All right, question number two. The following bands have all covered the same Queen song, and the bands are L.A. Guns, Lynch Mob, Wasp, and Warrant. Can you name the song? It's a Queen song that all four of those bands...
I'm going to say Tie Your Mother Down.
You are 100% correct, sir.
Yes. Hooray for me.
Yeah. It wouldn't be, was that Seaside Rendezvous?
No, so, I don't think so.
No.
All right, question number two. Who wrote the Crocus song, Boys Night Out?
Boys Night Out. Jesus.
It's not Mark Storace.
So it's not anybody in the band?
No.
You know what? I don't have a clue. Can you give me a clue? I don't know.
It was an 80s megastar, and he recorded this song on a re-release of his Reckless album.
Bryan Adams?
Yes! I gave you too much hint.
I didn't know. Wow,
yep.
Okay.
Bryan, and it's, of course, Crocus' version is much faster, but
Yeah, the hint gave it away. Yeah. I had no idea Bryan Adams wrote that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said the Reckless album. Dang it.
That's okay. I would have missed. I said I had no idea anyway.
All right.
All right, question number three for you. I think this is a softball, so get ready.
Nope.
Name every guitar player who's been a member of KISS.
Oh, good Lord. An actual member?
Yes.
Okay.
An official member.
And how many are you looking for?
There's a total of six.
Oh, okay. Ace?
Yep.
Vinnie Vincent?
Yep.
The dude with the hands.
Doesn't everybody have hands?
Mark. I can't think of his last name now.
Why don't you go to the other people you know? You've only got two so far.
I know.
Ace and Vinny.
Right. let's see. God, I'm terrible with names. I know the faces. Oh, what's his name? We got the brother.
Oh, my God.
I cannot believe this.
He can be a rhythm guitar player, too.
Oh, yeah, Paul Stanley.
Three.
That wasn't
Wow.
I was thinking lead guitar players.
I didn't say lead guitar
players.
All right, there's three of them left, and I know you've probably seen two of these guys.
I know.
In other bands.
The guy in Union. Jock Robbie.
The other guy.
Kulik.
All right. That's four.
What is that Mark? Oh, I want to say Mark Chapman, but I know that's not the guy's name.
No, that's the guy who shot Reagan, right?
Yeah.
Not a member of KISS.
Crap. And the guy that's in it now from Black and Blue.
I'm going to be doing a lot of editing on
Damn,
this question.
I don't know. I can't get the last two.
Wow.
I know exactly. I've seen him. I saw the one.
Tommy
Thayer.
Thayer. And the other guy, Mark St. John. His real name is Mark Norton. But okay, so you got four out of six, and you must turn in your KISS Army card
really?
Now.
Really? Jeez, I'll have to get rid of my tattoo. I don't really have a KISS tattoo.
No. Okay.
Because I didn't know they're lead guitar players, so how would I?
Yeah, you have a Trickster tattoo.
Yeah. Hey, no one's supposed to see that.
Oh, that's right.
You're right, Mark St. John, Tommy Thayer, jeez.
All right, your turn, sir.
All right, question number three for you. The brothers of Nuno and Gary from Extreme were together in what 80s hair band?
Nuno and Gary's brothers. They were in a band called Flesh.
That is correct.
Yes.
I would never have gotten that.
Yeah, and their album is not very good. I actually have their album.
Do you?
Yeah, it's not worth listening to.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
It's not an extreme precursor or anything?
No.
Fair use is a limitation and exception to the exclusive right granted by copyright law to the author of a creative work. In United States copyright law, fair use is a doctrine that permits limited use of copyrighted material without acquiring permission from the rights holders. Some examples of fair use include commentary, criticism, parody, and teaching. The Hard Rocking Trivia Show promotes the music played on the show and urges its listeners to purchase said music from the artist's official website, iTunes, or Amazon.com.
Danny, it's time for a little intellectual poetry where you have to give me the name of the artist by just the lyrics alone. Some of these
are difficult.
Yeah, I stink at this game too because I normally don't pay attention to lyrics. So some of these songs I know you've heard, but I'm going to start with this first one here. I know you've heard it, but I don't know if you've heard it lately, but we'll see. Some of these lyrics are great. Some of these lyrics are awful. Some of these songs that we do. So let's start with this one. You ready?
Yep.
Well, there's a woman in the city that makes me feel shitty. It starts off good already, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Hey.
There's some that make me pack a wad, but the other ones that are fine will never be mine. They won't give me the time of day. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no home. I gotta find me a bim to live with tonight. Any clue so far?
The ain't got no money, ain't got no home part sounds familiar, but, you know, without the melody, it's so hard.
Yeah, I know, because I'm trying not to sing the song
right.
If I do too much of it away.
Yeah. How about the next part?
Well, you gotta give me a guess.
Oh, man, ain't got no money. 18 in life.
No, it's not Skid Row. Okay, the chorus is the next part, so I'm going to skip that. I'm going to read the next phrase, and then I'll go to the chorus,
right.
Okay? Well, my Woody gets big when you're taking a swig.
Ooh.
And your drink's making you loosen up. Starts a-talking to me, well, look down, and you'll see what the hell I've been talking about. Any clue?
How about AC/DC?
Nope. Okay, here's the chorus.
Right.
You ready? Sporting a Woody when you're walking by. Sporting a Woody when your titties fly.
Dangerous toys.
You got it. Dangerous toys. Sporting a Woody. Yeah, you pretty much know what that song's about.
Oh, yeah.
That band should be playing M3.
Oh, yeah, they should. That's their style.
I saw them on the Operation Rock and Roll tour back in 91. It was like Judas Priest, Alice Cooper, Motorhead, Dangerous Toys, and Metal Church, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. All in one day. It was half full, though. I loved it. And Dangerous Toys are really good. So, Danny got it, right, on the chorus.
Yes.
This is Dangerous Toys with Sportin' a Woody.
On the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show.
I ain't got no money, ain't got no home. I gotta find me a bim to live with tonight. Sportin' a Woody when you're walking by. Sportin' a Woody when your tits fly. Sportin' a Woody ripping my fly. Sportin' a Woody till the day I die. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, welcome to the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show. My name is Mark.
And I'm Danny from Delaware.
Delaware. Beautiful Delaware, by the way.
It has been awesome weather right now. Awesome.
Just don't go down to Baltimore.
Yeah, we were actually going to go to the Orioles game this past Saturday, but they moved it to Florida, so we couldn't.
Well, you could have flown over there.
So we went to the Wilmington Blue Rocks game instead.
Woohoo!
Rookie League.
Was there extra security for that one?
I don't remember. I think there wasn't a wheelchair by the door.
Yeah. Guy was throwing ping pong balls at people.
Right. Hey, you. Hey, get away from there. Get away.
Okay, and hard rock news. Skid Row got rid of Johnny Solinger. Did you ever see Johnny Solinger live with Skid Row?
I saw plenty of video of it. Never saw him live.
I saw him live a couple of times. He was good on the Skid Row songs that he actually performed on. But with the Sebastian songs, he was really close to being good, but it was just a little off. And
something's not quite right.
You know, he was almost there. It's not like Arnell for Journey, where it's spot on perfect.
Right.
Or Kelly Hansen at Foreigner, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's amazing.
They nail it. But Solinger, you know, he was okay in his own right, but just wasn't there.
Yeah, I did see Skid Row a couple times with Sebastian, and they were amazing.
Yeah, me too. But they once they said bye-bye to Solinger, they announced Tony Harnell from TNT, which shocked the hell out of me.
Me too. I thought, whoa. Because that's a totally different style of music. From TNT to Skid Row, totally different.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, man. I mean, Tony's an awesome vocalist. He's got killer range.
Oh.
But
they had to have had that in the works for a while to have the song come out so quick.
They did.
Yeah.
They just kept it under wraps.
Yeah, because, you know, you hear the news that Tony Harnell's in the band, and then, what, 2-3 days later they put out the song?
Yeah, nobody records that fast.
No.
And he's not singing to a backing track. That's actually band performing with him. I mean, it was 18 in Life.
Yep.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was decent. Oh, it was okay.
I thought it was good. I've always liked Tony Arnell and TNT. His voice is awesome. He's got the pipes for it. So I thought it was really good. I liked it.
So I'm interested to see him in the band, and I want to hear what they come out, because they're going to do the third EP from the series they're doing, so right. It should be interesting. I'm guessing it's going to be up by the end of the year, early next year. But
next week,
who knows
if they record it.
Yeah. I guess the big concern with a lot of fans was they know Tony can hit the high notes, but can he do the tough, raspy vocals that Sebastian could do? Sebastian can go low and then shoot high.
Right.
So can Tony do it? What do you think?
I don't know. You know, with TNT, it always seemed to be a really high vocal, you know, sustained the whole time. They weren't really into the whole raspy thing like Skid Row in the first couple albums. You know, I'd like to hear Tony Harnell do Monkey Business or Piece of Me or something like that.
Now, the band, you're into the band Westworld, which Tony also sings with. Is there any heavier songs on that, or is that more melodic stuff like TNT?
It's more like TNT. Westworld, I thought, was great. I really, really liked them. I thought their best song was When I Come Home, which I don't know if you've heard that or not, but it is awesome. Awesome song.
Yeah, you sent me the links to those. I mean, you sent me the MP3s to those. I just haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
Well, life gets in the way.
You'll need to stay up late one night and listen to it before go sleep.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Okay. So, it's going to be pretty interesting. Maybe M3 next year we could see Tony. And maybe we can actually go to M3 next year.
Man, I hope.
If I have some more money in the bank account.
All my plans fell through that whole weekend. And, you know, I'm sitting here. I ended up going to the University of Delaware Fandemonium, which is like their football.
Oh, sorry.
Football preview and then the spring football game. It was cool, but it wasn't M3. You know, it wasn't, the halftime wasn't the Winery Dogs.
I was going to say, Winery Dogs or University of Delaware spring practice football.
Mm-hmm.
You screwed up. Okay, whatever.
I've made my choices.
Yes, and you lived with it.
I have to live with it.
And that being said, let's go into a little bit of rapid fire. Okay, Danny, it's time for rapid fire. Well, each one of us fires off three trivia questions to each other. And, Danny, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm feeling really confident.
Good. All right. Question number one. Can you name all the musicians who have played with Motley Crue on their studio albums? And there's six of them.
Holy crap.
Let's see if you get all six.
Let's see if I get one. Good God.
Motley Crue. The members of Motley Crue. There's been six.
I thought you were talking about extra musicians, like percussionists or...
Billy Bob played Slide Triangle or something.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Mick Mars, Vince Neil, Nikki Sixx, Tommy Lee, John Corabi. Okay.
That's five.
And the girl.
She never played in an album. It's not her.
Not her.
Oh, it's a male.
The drummer... Randy Castillo?
Got them all six. Nice. Saved that one.
Really pulled that one out.
Off to a hot start.
Yeah, it's a shame he passed away. He was a great, great drummer. I liked him with his Aussie stuff. But
he was good. He was also in Lita Ford.
Yeah.
But it's your turn to ask me a question.
I'm going
to
do that.
All right.
Okay, so I assume you're ready then.
I'm super ready.
How did Y&T get their original name yesterday and today?
How they picked their name yesterday and today.
How did they pick the name?
Oh, my God. Well, it obviously didn't Google it because there was no internet back then. I'm going to guess it was the name of a magazine.
They had the Beatles album Yesterday and Today on one of their
birthdays. Oh, my God. That's right. That
album is like our greatest hits here in the U.S., which was pissed off the Beatles a lot.
It did, really?
Oh, yeah. The whole way they did albums back then was totally screwed up. They would have a completely different release in the U.S. versus what they had in the U.K. Sometimes different covers and stuff, which I know isn't that rare, but completely different releases. You know, they'd have some songs from one album that was released in the UK, and some songs from another album in the UK became one album in the US. So I guess it worked out okay for them.
Just both bands.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, since you brought up the Beatles, I actually have a Beatles-flavored question
for you. All right, let's see.
In 1980, Beatles producer George Martin produced two hard rock albums. Can you name the bands that he produced in 1980? One of them is pretty obvious. The other one's pretty tough.
1980.
Yeah, neither one of them metal bands. Both hard rock bands. One's American, one's British. The American one is heavily influenced by the Beatles.
Oh, let's go with Enough's Enough.
1980.
Oh,
dude.
80.
Yikes.
Both albums in 1980, huh? I don't know.
The American band was Cheap Trick.
Oh, fuck.
All shook up. And the British band was UFO, No Place to Run.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Surprisingly, you said Enough's Enough. Oh, my God.
Those guys are huge Beatles freaks.
Yeah, not in 1980 they weren't. Well, they weren't freaks, but they didn't ever listen to an album.
When did their first album come out?
Oh, God. 85 is when they started recording. I think 86, 87.
All right.
It's okay. We call it a senior moment.
Yeah. Hey, that was a good guess. Whatever.
Yeah, it was.
Which band was formed first? And I'll give you five choices.
Okay.
Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Yes, and Rush.
It's definitely not Rush.
And just go give me just by the year.
Oh, you want me to give you the
Not the year, but I'm not asking like one was in January and the other was in March. Just the year.
I don't know squat about Yes. So
Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Yes, and Rush.
I'm going to go with Deep Purple 67.
Oh, you were so close. Actually, it was a trick question. They were all formed in 1968.
No! You suck. Okay.
Every one of them, 1968.
Rush? Really? Yep. Oh, Getty must have been 12 years old.
Well, he's 94 now, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Nice, Mr. Trick Question.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey.
Okay, we're going to go with the hard questions now.
Oh, because I'm doing so well with the easy ones.
Okay, all right. Here you go. Question number three. After original lead singer Rod Evans left Deep Purple, what band did he form?
Rod Evans?
He was the original lead singer of Deep Purple. This is some obscure... shite.
Oh, what band from Deep Purple?
Rod Evans, original lead singer.
I'm going to say, shit, I don't know, The Rods.
The name of the band was Captain Beyond.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Told you that was a tough
one. All right, yeah, if anybody listening knew that question, yeah, right.
Somebody out there who loves Deep Purple would know that, but I can honestly say I haven't heard a Captain Beyond album ever.
Captain Beyond, wow.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Question number three for you. How many current members of Grand Funk Railroad are original members?
Let me see. Mark Forner, obviously the lead singer, is not in the band anymore, which is a shame, because he sung and wrote 90% of the material.
Yeah.
There's two left, the drummer and the bass player.
You are correct. You only need to give me the numbers, not the names.
Two. I know Don Brewer is the drummer,
right.
And I forget the name of the bass player.
Mel Satcher.
Yeah, okay. And Bruce Kulick is in that band now.
Yes, he is.
Woohoo!
Bruce.
Yeah. Major League underrated.
Oh, absolutely. He's. I'd like to see them with Bruce Kulick. I mean, he was amazing when I saw him with Union.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time with Kiss, he's being held back, you know, as Paul likes to do. But, man, in Union, he was awesome.
Yeah, what struck me is we're at the Jack's seeing him play, and we're like a foot from the guy, watching him play, and the guy didn't look like he wasn't struggling at all. It was like second nature. He looked made it look so easy, but it really wasn't.
Oh, yeah, you hear him just going off, and then you see him, and he's like, not even, doesn't even look like he's thinking about it.
Yeah, just it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Awesome. And a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, John Corabi that close up, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That guy does not stink.
Well, I don't know. I haven't been close enough to him to smell him since then.
Okay,
but anyway.
He is a major talent, I should say.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we have to pick something to play.
How about a Union song? Talking about Bruce.
Really?
Bruce.
Okay, Union song. Union. How? What about that song? All the Beatles titles in it. It's nothing but Beatles titles through the whole song.
I don't know that one. I know that a lot of the ones John Corabi wrote were Beatles type songs.
I'll figure it out. How about we play the Beatles influenced song by Union? It'll be on the Hard Rock and Trivia Show, and I'll go look it up.
All right.
We're going hopping, hop, we're going hopping today. When things are popping, pop, the Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it, drop, on all the music they play on the bandstand. Bandstand. We're going swinging, swing, we're going swinging.
All right, we're going to try a new segment here on the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show, and it's called Rate a Record. We're going to talk about some new releases and talk about if we like them or dislike them and rate them through 1 through 100, kind of like they used to do on the old American Bandstand show. And the first album we're going to talk about is Toto's 14. Now, on Melodic Rock, Andrew over there loves him to death. He gave it 100 out of a possible 100, which is not a big surprise. All right, I went over to Heavy Harmonies. They gave it a 60.
What?
With three reviewers on there gave it a 60, so there's a big gap there. And on Rate Your Music, they do a 1 through 5 rating system, 5 being best, and they had it at 349, which isn't too bad, and 31 people reviewed that. So, Dan, let's start off with what you think about the album and what you rate it as.
All right. Well, it's no surprise I'm a huge Toto fan. I have been since the first album. I bought it back in the mid-70s, and I've been a fan ever since. And this album, I'm going to rate a 98. Out of 100, I love the album. I don't dislike any song on it. There's a couple songs that I listen to and go, okay, that was all right, that was different. But overall, I think the album, you could pick each song and say, okay, that's from this era, that's from the different era. So it sounds like they were going back and trying to write some songs based on their different roots and but the songs are unbelievable. Some of them are classic Toto songs that I think will be in their set list for a long time. But yeah, I love this album a lot.
Okay, you gave it a 98.
98.
You're definitely a Toto nut swinger. I'm not much of a Toto nut swinger. I like them. I've seen them live. I respect them. The musicianship in this band is top-notch. I mean, everybody is great. I gave it a 78.
Wow, that is so wrong.
Well, I'm looking at, okay. It's a high C.
Okay.
Which isn't bad. Overall, it's good. Sorry, I'm not as a biggest fan as you are. My friend Greg over in Simi Valley will probably kill me too because he loves Toto as well. Some of the songs that really got to me that I really liked was the opening track, Running Out of Time,
mm-hmm.
like Burn, and 21st Century Blues are the three tracks that I really liked off of this album. What about you?
Yeah, I like Burn as well, but my three favorites are Running Out of Time, again, of course. I really like the first single, Orphan. great vocals, really good chorus, just love it. And one that may not get a lot of attention, but Great Expectations is an awesome song. It makes me think of the Hydra era. And it's not
the Kiss song, right?
Yeah, definitely not the Kiss song. Good Lord.
All right.
But Great Expectations is probably one of my top five Toto songs now. I've listened to it a bunch of times. There's all kinds of strange time signatures. The playing is unbelievable. And it's just an awesome, awesome song. Makes me think of Hydra and St. George and the Dragon, that kind of feel from that era.
Cool. I think that's the song we're going to outro after this. So we'll give a sample of Great Expectations. That means our Hard Rock and Trivia Show rating for this is an average of it's an 88. So go check it out.
All right. Cool.
That's what 88 total.
78. Are you f***ing insane?
I didn't love as much.
Oh
as
my
you did.
God! You need to listen to it on your earphones and not playing basketball. Shit.
All right, next up in our Rate a Record segment is The Scorpions and Return to Forever.
California Jam, meet some good old friends. The city never sleeps, the city never sleeps. And when we hit the road, watch out for trouble, bro. Don't mess with rattlesnakes, don't mess with rattlesnakes. They grow.
Yes, the Scorpions are still around. In fact, they're celebrating their 50th year in music.
Good Lord.
And I know. And some of the ratings I pulled off the internet on Heavy Harmonies, they gave it an 82. On Rate Your Music, they gave it 2.91 out of 5, which isn't that great. And on Amazon, they gave it a 4.2 out of 5, which is actually pretty good. Danny, what did you give Return to Forever?
I'm giving that one a 75. I haven't been a huge Scorpion fan over the past few years or past few albums. And this album, it seems strange to me when I'm listening to the songs and the music completely changes between the verse and the chorus. I don't know if you noticed that at all, but check that out next time you're listening to some of these songs. That the chorus is the verse is going on, and then it seems like the music completely changes for the chorus. And then it goes back to the other type. I don't know. That, to me, it's just that inconsistency kind of drives me a little bit crazy. But it's still, some of these songs are completely anthem rock songs, which the Scorpions are masters at writing.
Yeah, originally I probably just scored around the same as you did, but it's kind of grown on me. I probably listened to it like 5 or 6 times. And yeah, originally I probably would have said 74, 75. But I'm giving it an 81. It's kind of grown on me. And yeah, I get what you're saying about the songs. A lot of them are anthem. I can't even say the word. Say it for me.
Anthem.
They're anthems. Yes, they write emphatic. I can't say that word. But, yeah, they write anthems. Some of them are good. Some of them are stupid. I think Rock My Car is really stupid.
I will.
But the music's good.
I will agree, but I put Rock My Car in one of the songs that I like on this album because after I listened to it and I listened to a couple of other songs, I'm still thinking about Rock My Car.
Yeah, it's stuck in your brain.
Exactly. It's like, oh, my God. What?
But the chorus is dumb.
Yeah.
Rock
My Car.
Yeah. So like I'm giving...
Like that Helix song, Rock You.
Rock You.
Give me an R. Oh. Yeah, exactly. But you think about it. But anyway, I really like Going Out with a Bang.
Okay.
Rock My Car and the song Rock and Roll Band. Again, these guys aren't Shakespeare with the lyrics. I don't know how much of the language barrier there is with their lyrics, but...
Yeah, I think I picked We Built This House, All for One, and Rolling Home. So we picked three completely different songs. I think a lot of these songs were back written in the 80s, and they pulled some of them out. So it's a mix of old and new songs together.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of disjointed. And if you get the deluxe edition, I think there's an extra 5 songs on it, which is a little too much. I say stick, get the one with 12. If you like the Scorpions from the 80s, you'll like this. I mean, it's fun. It's the Scorpions. And our Hard Rock Rock and Trivia Show total score is 78. So we gave Toto 14 and 88, and the Scorpions a 78, which is kind of shocking, but that's what we did, and live with it. So let's play an outro song. What song would you want to play from the Scorpions?
Let's play Rock My Car.
Oh, really? I'll get everybody a taste of that one.
Exactly.
Okay, Rock My Car. All right, here on the Hard Rock and Trivia Show.
If you enjoy the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, you can go to Spreaker.com and sign up for free to follow the show. All past episodes can also be streamed or downloaded at Spreaker.com.